Today on Funny You Should Say That, we're talking with young Portland comedian Sean Boomer Fleck. Sean has a website you can consult to see where he will be appearing. Sean, give us that website.
Me at www.boomerfm.com.
What kind of humor do you do?
A lot of my humor is observational, sort of self-deprecating, I guess. A lot of it is about me and things that, you know, I encounter, or, you know, people that I know. It's interesting. A lot of things are either said at me or, you know, not like done to me, but like done around me, where it's like, why did that just happen?
So 2008, you've been working since 2008. Is that when you first
started? When I first hit the scene, yeah, I started. So the way I actually got into radio was by doing, or I'm sorry, the way I actually got into comedy was by radio. I used to work in the radio business here in town, and I met a bunch of comics, interviewing them, and sort of like how you're doing now, met them, interviewed them, went out to some of their shows, befriended them, and then got fired from radio, and after that was, you know, working like regular jobs, quote, you know, as I say, and throughout the regular jobs, I wasn't digging it that much and would still go and hang out with my comedy friends, and ended up going to a comedy show, and they would always tell me, you should do comedy, you should do comedy. I'm like, nah, man, that's for you. I'll stick to radio. I'll get back into radio one of these days. And saw somebody headline a show at a local bar here in town, and I just happened to help them out and be the door guy. Saw this headliner who still does comedy today, a lot better, as I should mention, but did not do great that night. I was like, I could do this, and I think I could do it better than this guy. I talked to my friend. I was like, yo, bud, give me a shot. Like, give me a couple minutes or whatever. He gave me 5 minutes the next month, and I went to my regular job, probably irritated the crap out of them because I was working on my material. But it was great because I would, like, I had a month to prepare, and I would work on the material, go at them, and I was also, like, doing homework and watching some comedy shows at the time, and I would come to them and be like, hey, I got this joke. He's like, that's not your joke. That's so-and-so's joke. I was like, no. I came up with it. I wrote it down on a piece of paper. Like, you might have wrote it down on a piece of paper, but somebody else, you, they're like, I was like, oh, yeah, I was just watching that guy's video. And sure enough, I was like, all right, scratch it out, erase it, can't tell that joke ever again. But I went that month, practiced, and when I actually did the show the month later, you know, nervous as heck, butterflies in the stomach, all my friends that do comedy are like, it's all right if you bomb, man, it's all right. You know, everybody sucks their first time, just very encouraging. You know, everybody sucks their first time, like, you get back up and you do it again, you do it again. And I was like, oh, man, thanks, guys. And it's like, all right, we're here for you. I go up there, I do 10 minutes and knock it out of the park.
Is this your full-time job now?
Doing comedy? No. Uh-huh. Unfortunately not. I would love it to be, but unfortunately I have a different full-time job. I actually work at a coffee shop. Which is great for more entertainment and more comedy. Uh-huh. Like working with the public is one of my favorite things to do. I love it. I get to have like a conversation with somebody different, like almost every 2 minutes. It's uh-huh. sort of, and it brings me back to when I used to work on the radio and getting phone calls and dealing with listeners a lot, you know. Uh-huh. It's like going out to a promotion and talking with them, and I have like this personal relationship with a lot of the customers.
Were you a DJ or?
Yeah, I was on the air for a radio station that's actually switched formats, but it is still
what
the same.
What station is it?
101.1 KUFO. Uh huh. Back when it was a rock station, I used to work there, and then I actually worked for I worked as a board operator for Salem Communications, which is a Christian radio station group. Uh-huh. And so that was a pretty interesting switch going from a progressive rock radio to a very conservative Christian radio station. But they were smart. They had me work the overnight shifts and just push the buttons, not talk. So, which is probably for the best.
Did you build up any kind of a following on that station?
I did. And afterwards, and actually still to the day, get people every once in a while that recognize my voice or remember my radio career. Oh my! It was a roller coaster ride at best. It was a lot of fun. I met a lot of people, a lot of rock stars. I, you know, chatted it up with Sharon Osbourne. I met a bunch of wrestlers that were, you know, that are professional wrestlers. The guy that's in the Guardians of the Galaxy movie, you know, like, right. Got to shake hands and hang out with him, you know. And there's,
do you do a lot of rehearsal?
You know, I do, and I used to. Not like at home or anything like that. I used to do a lot more open mics, which now that I've done more comedy, you know, I've realized that the open mics are like the rehearsals, you know, for me. Some people, and I'm not that person, go home and they'll practice in front of the mirror, or, you know, they'll sit there and read their jokes over and over and over again. And I'm not that person. I like to go out to the open mics. You know, when I was young as a comic, I would go a lot more. It was almost a competition between me and a buddy of mine of how many we could get in a week. Now, at that time, we were hitting all of them, and some music open mics or mixed open mics, and we would be able to get 10 in a week, you know, 11. My buddy did 14, and that was like he was showing off. He had wheels, car, so he was able to get around a lot more, hit up some of the ones that were further out. I didn't. And so I was just like local, catch rides with him. But nowadays, man, you could get 20 in a week. There's so many open mics right now, you know, and that's not even including the mixed open mics, which I like going to because you get sort of a different audience, yeah. You know.
Does that mean the supply of comedians is outstripping the demand?
Sort of. You know, when I was a young comic back in 2008, there was, you know, like I said, there was very few places to do an open mic. Mm-hmm. There was even fewer places doing actual stand-up comedy shows. Nowadays, there's so many places, and there's a lot of people, and there's so many comics. There was a time where one of the big open mics that was going on was at the Boiler Room. And the Boiler Room, Kevin Michael Moore, who's been hosting the Boiler Room open mic, or which is now a different open mic, he had to restructure his entire open mic because of the fact that there were so many comics. There would be a night where there was one night in particular where I remember we had capped off the night at 35 comics. This was unprecedented. Wow. And yeah. And Kevin was, you'd go to the Boiler Room mic because Kevin was pretty allowing with the time. And this mic took like 4 hours of just, you know, of a bar's Monday night. And then we had to restructure it because the bar had a high turnout for their karaoke. But man, the amount of times that I've been stifled because a karaoke set is supposed to start next is just... It's a lot. I'm like, really? You guys want to sing other people's songs instead of listen to original comedy ideas from me? How dare you? Like, the nerve. Just sit there and enjoy your $1.50 paps. It's like, it'll be okay. But yeah, this opened my 4 hours. And so he had to restructure it to, I believe it was 20 sets, 20 people. You would have to sign up. You could sign up ahead of time, like the night before online. And then if you signed up the night before, you would get, I believe, 5 minutes. And there was like 10 people that would get 5 minutes, and then 7 people that would get 3 minutes. And then there would be like some 2 minute spots.
Can you really do anything in 2 minutes?
That's the issue. It's like, hey, how you doing? My name's Boomer. All right, I got the light. Have a good night.
Yeah.
You know, like, you know, you have 2 minutes to work with. And at that point, like, if you come up after somebody who just did their 5 minute set and they're killing it, and you're like, all right, I got 2 minutes. And then you like start in on your 2 minutes, and you're still going, you're going off of his energy or her energy. And then all of a sudden you get the light and you're like, man, I just started this bit. Come on. Like, all right. Well, and then you have to like cut that bit, or you're like, all right, I don't have enough time. You know, you don't have enough time. So you got to cut to something real quick. And then, all right, peace out. Have a good night. You know, and Kevin's the man with his open mic. He doesn't mess around. He's a big stage guy too. So he, has a trumpet that he normally brings. And so at the end of your time, he's timing you. At the end of your time, you like do your joke and you're like, or you're like right in the middle of your set, you know, you get trumpeted on and you're like, all right, well, there's not much more that I could do than that. Like right. at Helium, they'll cut your mic, damn. And then if you still keep talking, they'll turn the lights off on yeah. you. You know, it's like, yeah. you're like, all right, hold on. I just got this one last joke. All right. And then, you know, it's rough.
Hey, baby, wake up from your sleep. We have arrived onto the future and the whole world is become electronic, supersonic, supersonic, electronic. Hey, baby, ride with me away. We doesn't have much time. My blue jeans is tight, so onto my love rocket climb. Inside tank of fuel is not fuel, but love. Above us, there is nothing above, but the stars above.
All systems gone. Prepare for down count.
5, 4, 3, 1. Off blast. Fly away in my space rocket. You no need put money in my pocket. The door is closed, I just lock it. I put my door plug in your socket.
The sun is sky is bright like fire.
You and me gets higher and higher.
Out of communication fire.
Only thing can stop us is flat tire. Love Crusader, I want to be your space invader. For you I would descend the deepest moon crater. I is more stronger than Darth Vapor. Obey me, I is your new dictator. For you is Venus, I am Mars. With you I is more richer than all the czars. Make a wishes on a shooting stars. Then for you I will play on my cosmic guitars.
Fasten your belt seats. We has commenced our descent. I trust you enjoy this flight as much as you enjoy this accent.
Now, back on Earth, it's time for downsplash. Into sea of eternal glory, my spaceship crash. People have arrived for to cheer me from near and far. And as I float, I open door and shout, I am world's biggest, washed up superstar! Space race, long live Mulvania.
It's you ever do any competitions?
Yes.
I take it that wasn't a good experience.
I've done quite a few competitions actually, and I've had good experiences and I've had bad experiences, and it's not that the bad experiences outweigh the good experience. You could sit there and have what you think is the best set of your entire life. I killed it. Everybody's high-fiving yeah. you. Like, you're outside. Everybody's like, here, bro, I brought you a beer because you rocked. And then, like, next thing, you don't even make the semis.
Right.
You're like,
well, you have to bring your entourage with you.
Yeah,
right?
Yeah. And, you know, and I've done that before, too, and then got, you know, and it's like, and it's one of those, you know, you don't know who the judges are. You don't know if the judges are going right. to like your comedy. There's so many different factors into it, and I'll do them. You know, I like there's I believe the Portland, the local Portland funniest comedy, Helium's doing. I think there's right. possibly currently, and I have interest, but no interest. You know, like I want to, but I don't. I especially right now with my comedy where it's at and how I'm feeling about it and the stuff that I'm trying to do right now, which is pretty much I'm sort of reinventing and reworking a lot / all of my material. I went and lost a bunch of weight, and so that totally screwed up my entire fat joke set. There goes all the heavy hitting jokes.
But you could talk about, make jokes about weight loss.
Exactly. Example. Yeah, and that's I've been working those in. I've been doing. I haven't lost so much weight that I can't still, but I don't see people seeing me as like the skinny guy, or like, you know, man, look at how thin, you know, I'm still portly, chunky, fluffy, whatever, you know, however you want to describe it. There's so many words, but I'm still that. And so now I'm working that into the set.
What would you define as a big break for yourself, and how have you imagined how you be able to force that?
I would say one of my biggest breaks, getting paid, doing my first paid show was pretty awesome. But I'd say probably doing like my first Harvey's Club set, working at a club as like what I would getting that check, you know,
right.
Like that was what I can say is like my first big break and inspiration to, you know, hit it harder and do more and sort of, you know, get better, because doing, you know, you get judged, they have comment cards, there's professional feature and headliners that are there, not just your regular Portland feature and headliners that you all do open mics with and joke around with. You know, like I could run into Augie Smith or Ron Funches and, you know, rub shoulders with them and be like, hey guys, and not have the best set and still feel okay about it. Ron's a cool guy.
Okay, so you know him from
I've been when Ron was up here, you know, kicking butt and taking names. Yeah. I did some shows with him. Him and a friend of ours, Will Woodruff, we're all like sort of rocking around. Will had his van, and we would do shows together. Go down to Salem. Ron actually ran the coffee house. He ran the coffee house comedy show down in Salem, and we'd go and do that, and go down to Salem, come back up, which is, you know, I mean, you got to do comedy wherever you can, wherever they'll let you. When people always ask me, oh, where do you do comedy? I'm like, wherever they let me, man, in a bar. You know, I've done comedy in a barn, a Moose Lodge, Elks Lodge.
Well, can't you call on that friendship to get some influence in L.A.?
I have friends. And the biggest thing with that is, you know, they're not going to come to you. L.A., New York, Chicago, they're not going to come to you. There's so many people in those spots, in those hot spots, that they you know, they have good talent to pick from. So if I was to go down there, then maybe I'd be able to like ride his coattails a little bit. Not, I would never do that. I like to, you know, I would like to make a name for myself. But you know, I would be able to be like, hey guys, like, what's up? You got an opening spot, or can I like hand out tickets for you, or you know, what, babysit, you know, whatever it is, you know. And it's the same for, you know, other people that I know too. If you go to Sacramento, I know friends in Austin. I could go to Florida and probably get a show with my friend junior high, but it's a matter of making it out there and doing that.
Do you have a manager? I was told you can't really get anywhere until you get a manager.
I don't have a manager. I actually was I was talking with this guy, and then it sort of just like flaked out. And it was another one of those things. I couldn't make it down to LA, and it was just, they're like, we could get you an audition, but it's not a for sure thing, and you'd have to drive out here or fly out here or whatever. Mm-hmm. And it's like, man, if I was making the money, problem, I'd fly right out.
The big question, would you want to leave Portland?
that's a constant battle. I wouldn't want to, but I would. And eventually after time, that's one thing that I feel is branch out, try and hit up LA, try and hit up New York, you know, do some shows down there. Maybe even, I have family in California, maybe even move down there. I have an older dog right now that's going through his quote-unquote golden years, or as I like, that's what the vet calls it. I call it like it is. He's dying. And so I'm sort of morbidly waiting for him to kick the bucket so I could, you know, it's hard. Yeah. They don't have like a doggy hospice, you know, or doggy retirement homes where he could just like, slowly go into his golden years and play shuffleboard all day, or you know, chew.
How old is he?
He's 12.
Yeah, I got a dog that's 12.
Yeah, he's 12. He's unfortunately got Cushing's disease right now, which has been wearing on him. He's a lot less active as he was when he was. And I mean, I got to give the dog credit. He is a strong dude. Like, and I've mentioned it before, and it's one of those things where it's hard to bring up, but life is hard. You just got to get over it. But it's hard to bring up, but I still do it because it's so crazy. He survived being stabbed 8 times at once.
Stabbed?
Stabbed with a knife.
Who did that?
Some crazy person. I don't know who it was. I didn't want to find out. Uh-huh. You know, like I would have had to like check the police report. But he's a bull terrier mix. Uh-huh. He's a wild animal. He got out loose one time when I was actually going to get him food. Ran down the street because he was free at last. And ran upon a couple. And the couple had apparently 2 little dogs. And he's very inquisitive. Jumped up like he does. He jumps up. Yeah. I've been trying to break him of it. Just doesn't work. And jumped up, and the guy freaked out, kneed him, dog jumped up again, dude busted out his knife, and just ate.
Living in a bad neighborhood.
Yeah, southeast. The dog walked back the couple blocks back to the house, and my neighbor, her dad was a vet for a long time, went into action, made MacGyver, made a tourniquet out of a shower curtain, and rushed him to the ER. I was able to meet him there, and dude survived, and was spry enough up until about the last year when he's had Cushing's disease.
Yeah.
Was spry enough, just like he was before. And I'm like, dude, 8 stab wounds, and you still haven't been knocked down a peg.
You could make a routine out of that.
Yeah. I sort of have a little bit that, you know, my dog has more street cred than I think, too. When it happened, I was living at this house that held about 7 comics at the time. 9 people total, 7 comics, though, with my dog and 2 cats. It was a full house and crazy. And my buddy... As I'm sitting there, my buddy, actually, Will Woodruff, who introduced me to Ron Funches, is sitting there, and he is known for not knowing when to stop. Yeah. Like, not ever knowing when to stop. My buddy Will is sitting there just like, as I'm cleaning my dog's blood off of the back of my landlord or my roommate's car, he's sitting there like, guess you didn't get the point, huh?
7 comics.
Yeah, 7
comics. One last question.
All right.
Where'd the boomer come from?
In Portland, they have the DARE program, the Drug Abuse Resistance Education Program. And in 5th grade, I was in that program because they had it at my school, Go Gresham. And and I was in that class. And as a young poor kid, my mom would always shave our heads. Always. It was either shave the head, get a buzz cut, or bowl cut. That's what our 2 options were, buzz cut, bowl cut. And I went in there after a fresh buzz cut. The officer who was doing the DARE program, Officer Terry O'Keefe, who I believe is still out in Gresham as a sergeant, I believe, was working. And he had a mascot that was a Vietnamese potbelly pig that he got from a beat, you know, something that he got called out. A farmer gave him a pig. Uh-huh. He made it his mascot. So he comes in, fresh buzz cut, comes in, feels my head. It's like, your head feels just like Boomer's head. Boomer's the pig. So I got named after a pig by a pig. Sorry, Officer O'Keefe, for calling you a pig. But so now I resist. Now I rebel because it's my rebellious nature. Yeah. I grow my hair out and smoke a lot of weed. No.
It's Donnie Does It Again. Your weekly half hour of rollicking 1940s radio comedy starring everybody's favorite buffoon, Donnie Trump. It's brought to you by Johnson's Glow Coat, your all-purpose answer to life's many waxing needs. When you've got some dingy kitchen linoleum or rotting wood floors, simply remember the immortal words of Mr. Miyagi. Wax on, wax off. Hi, I'm Harlan Wilcox. As we drop in on Donnie and his large extended family in their bungalow at 666 Swastika Lane in the little Florida town of Marmolado. Donnie's daughter Ivanka is worried about her stepmother, Melania, who just happens to be that old fart Donnie's trophy wife. Ivanka is explaining to nosy visiting neighbor Esther Roll, the late star of the sitcom Good Times, that she's expecting Sheriff Jeff Sessions to show up at the door at any minute with Melania in handcuffs. Let's listen in.
Hi, Ivanka, honey. It's Esther here. Whatever can be the problem, Ivanka, honey? Now, I don't mean to be nosy. I only came by to deliver some pigs in a blanket. I saw the door open and came in, and here you are, all in tears.
Pigs in a... You mean those little hot dog thingies rolled up in dough?
No, they're pigs. I wrap them in blankets to keep them warm and quiet. Those little hot dog things, I have no idea what you're talking about.
Here's Sheriff Sessions coming up the walk now with Melania. Come on in, Sheriff. Stepmommy Melania, why are you in custody?
She took the radical feminist view in relation to abortion, and she didn't back off one iota in that debate, not one. And you call her on partial birth abortion, right, and she said it's not as bad as you said.
Oh, my goodness. My daddy, Donnie, Melania's wealthy and powerful old fart husband will have a regular shit fit if he hears about this. He's told everyone in the world he's against abortion, though no one in the family really believes one fucking word that comes out of that douchebag's lying mouth. We'll take it from here, Sheriff. Come in, Melania. What could you possibly have been thinking, stepmommy? A partial birth abortion? Really?
I got to thinking at the last minute, maybe it's not so good idea to bring another Trump into the world.
Oh, here comes Daddy, home now.
I should head upstairs to change into something more revealing.
You'd best get out to the kitchen and get supper underway. Melania, make some of that Slovenian goat loaf Daddy loves so much. Hi, Daddy dearest.
Come Christmas time, we're going to all be in these department stores that don't have Merry Christmas, and we're going to see Merry Christmas right in those stores, right? We're going to see Merry Christmas at the department stores again, folks.
Well, that's wonderful, Daddy. Maybe you'll finally achieve your fondest heart's desire and get to play department store Santa.
Bite your tongue, girl. He sure as hell ain't going to be looking at my list or checking it twice. Hell, not even once.
Here's hoping for the best, Pop. You've been putting weight on for a long time just so you can be Santa. Although, you've never really gotten down that ho-ho-ho line. It keeps coming out, fake Santa! Let's go in the living room, Esther. Come on, join us. Have you had an interesting day, Daddy dearest? Melania's in the kitchen fixing supper.
We're only 11 weeks in, but already my administration has achieved historic progress for the American people.
Yes, but did anything interesting happen for you or anyone else?
I think you're going to find some very interesting items coming to the forefront over the next 2 weeks.
Oh, you're always handing us that crap, Trump. Besides giving your rich friends some big tax breaks, you ain't done shit.
Politicians are all talk and no action.
Exactly what I was thinking, too.
I hope you've been remembering to take your anabolic steroid shots. Got to keep that Trump mouth big and fat.
And we're going to get drug prices so far lower than they are now.
More bullshit.
Let's hope not. We all want Papa to take good care of himself.
Ain't nobody else going to do it willingly.
I don't care about me anymore. I care about the people out there. And, you know, me, I'm very satisfied.
And, like, I really believe that, too.
Please don't say that, Daddy. I get scared when I think how ISIS might have killed us all if we hadn't had you to protect us and the rest of the country with that bomb.
The motherfucking bomb?
No, the mother of all bombs. That's why I get angry when I hear people like the Pope saying you're a terrible man.
With a dolt like Big Don here covering our asses and with ISIS running loose, it ain't even safe for us to walk to church on Sunday. Pretty soon we'll have to ride in a tank.
And so, if and when the Vatican is attacked by ISIS, which as everyone knows is ISIS's ultimate trophy, I can promise you that the Pope would have only wished and prayed that Donald Trump would have been president. The Pope isn't being told that. The Pope is being told that Donald Trump is not a nice person, okay? Donald Trump is a very nice person, and I am a very nice person.
Who said anything about the Vatican? I know I didn't say nothing about no Vatican. I go to the Ezekiel Baptist African Methodist Church up the street.
Oh, look. Here comes Ben Carson. How are you, Ben?
He had a grand mal seizure, fell down, arms and legs jerking, eyes rolled back, foaming at the mouth, incontinent of urine.
Who had a grand mal seizure, Ben?
Where we take out half the brain.
Oh, good God Almighty.
You know, we live in a nation where a lot of people are trying to get rid of God.
Say what, Ben?
Sounds more to me like we're living in a country where crazy surgeons is taking out half of people's brains.
Stephen Miller, I see you standing over there in the doorway. Stop raining hot kisses on that guinea pig and come over here. Did you just hear Carson when he was telling us about taking out half of somebody's brain?
You had a case where somebody was treated unfairly, the president stood up for a member of his family, and the White House counselor made a light-hearted, flippant comment that nobody would interpret as being what has been cast as right now by you and the media and others.
But judging by that melon baller he's got in his hand, the one dripping blood, I think it's more than a comment. I think he actually did it.
She might die.
There's no chance she'll recover, Carson. Don't your patients ever live?
They never got any better until they got their settlement. Whereas with an old geezer, you spend all that time operating and they die in 5 years or something else. So I'd like to get a big return on my investment. I'm just kidding. I like old people.
And I will be perhaps speaking about this next week.
With half of a brain.
He can't have a brain. He's Trump. He's our president. He doesn't want a brain.
The president has been clear, equivocal, unequivocal, and explicit.
Oh, shut up, fish face. Why don't you make up your mind? Which is it? Equivocal or batshit crazy?
Trump is the greatest president ever, and there will never be one like him now. But I think he is very much on board. He wants to do the right thing. That I believe 100%.
Daddy, you're talking about yourself in the third person again. Or are you just repeating what your friends at Fox are saying?
field. And think of the power we have over the Democrats, over the Republicans.
Daddy, a lot of people hear you go on like that, and they think you're mentally retarded.
Said they've never heard anyone explain it quite the way I explain it.
What? You haven't even explained how you got elected. Dr. Carson, where did you learn to do surgery?
I would just sit out in the hallway and listen to the PA system. Dr. Jones to the emergency room. Dr. Johnson to the clinic. They sounded so important.
That seems very sad. At least I think it's probably very sad. Whatever you're talking about.
Very sad, huh? You talking about the woman who died or the fact this nutso doctor somehow passed the SAT?
But I think he is very much on board. He wants to do the right thing. That I believe 100%.
Now, who can that be ringing the doorbell? Oh, look. It's Harlan Wilcox for Johnson's Glowcoat. Come on in, Harlan.
Hi, folks. I'm stopping by to remind everyone to pick up a can of Johnson's Glowcoat at the store next time you go shopping. Summer begins next week, and what with Congress returning from summer vacation, there will be all of those House and Senate committee investigators coming down here looking for Donnie Doofus and tromping through your place. So you'll want an extra layer of thick, gummy yellow wax on all your floors. And you know you can't get yellower than Johnson's Glow Coat. You may not find it wherever finer floor waxes are sold, but most dollar stores carry it. Bye. Well, the Trump bunch is settling down for supper. Esther Roll won't leave, Ben Carson is still hanging around with his wide-eyed gaze, and googly-eyed Stephen Miller is also there for his free meal. Let's listen in to the bunch as they gather around the dinner table.
Daddy, do you think you'll begin taking Stephen Miller, honey, with you now that you've discovered you don't want to be near Steve Bannon whenever he's carrying a gun?
We're not going to get any Democrats.
That's good. We've still got a couple in the freezer from your last hunt with Dick Cheney. You had better tell Stephen you're hunting deer and not Democrats. I'm not sure he knows the difference. Will you be taking anyone from your cabinet hunting with you?
Secretary of Labor. Secretary of Labor.
You never take any Democrats hunting with you, do you?
It's because they hate the Republicans, probably hate me, but they hate the Republicans so badly that they can't see straight.
Right, and it's never a good idea to go out hunting with people who can't see straight.
Oh my gosh, look at that across the street. One of our neighbors is on a ladder climbing onto his roof to take down his Make America Great Again sign and put up an I Hate Trump banner.
It's about the American dream, the ability to move up that ladder.
And I think it's a disgrace.
And I'm prepared to go on any show, anywhere, anytime, and repeat it and say the President of the United States is correct 100%.
No, don't do that. We want to keep you on the show, Stephen Miller.
If this is an issue that interests you, then we could talk about it more in the future. I'm not going to make a comment on that. I don't have any information on it. I do want to say that Sean Spicer, as always, is 100% correct, and that what he said is true and important, and I agree with it.
Who's in the bathroom? It's Kellyanne, ain't it? I could go pretty bad. I saw you sneaking there, like, this morning, Kellyanne. You gotta come out now.
And eventually, she'll die.
You've been in there for hours. I'll bet it's stinking to high heaven in there.
Right. No, it's not. And see, you're very passionate about this.
Tremendous waste in this country.
She's finally coming out.
Wow. I'm hearing wow. I like to hear wow. She's very happy about this. Ivanka's very happy about this.
I hope you don't have your bowels in an uproar, Kellyanne.
And don't you say that again. Yeah, so that's ridiculous. Chris, he's not mocking. Listen, you're using words like disparagement, mock the intel community.
Clapper Donald used the word disparagement.
Great respect for the, and that's his opinion. And now you're giving, speaking of disparagement, yes. I really believe there are those out there that are trying to just, there are those out there who are trying to delegitimize his presidency, review the election results, and you know it. I mean,
our conversations have been candid, open, and grounded in mutual respect for the special interests.
But won't that cut way into the people's prosperity?
So it's going to go way down for the middle class. It's going to go way down for business.
Oh, terrific. Just why you got elected. Though we all know you actually lost by about 3 billion votes.
Do not release dangerous criminals.
What the hell? Where did this Confederate dwarf come from?
That's no ordinary dwarf. It's the original evil one. Jeff Sessions here again, and he's with Sean Hannity. You shut up about my father and dangerous criminals, Jeff Sessions. Don't be the pot calling the kettle black, especially a kettle with tiny hands. We know you'll be taking your cut of the graft that Trump Enterprises will be raking in from Eastern Europe.
When does a president ever get to tell those people to ignore the law?
Tell who? You shut up too, Hannity. You're going to do nothing but cause trouble for the Trump family when it comes impeachment time.
It's going to be something special like this country hasn't seen in many, many decades.
What the fuck are you talking about, Trump? You one crazy bitch.
That's ridiculous.
That'll do it for another week with the Trump Bunch and the Donnie Does It Again show. Assume we'll still be here and join us again, same time, same station, next week when we hear Donnie say,
it's time to stop fighting over the smallest words and to start dreaming about the great adventures that lie ahead for our incredible country.
And think of the power we have over the Democrats.